Let me read to you 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Finally, all of you, have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. We looked at this verse last week. We started to look at it a little bit structurally, and to just kind of bring that back to us, we see this chiastic structure here, and so we had Gretchen's bench over there and Tim's bench over here being kind of the outer sections of the chiastic structure, if you will. And so we identify those in this verse with the unity of mind and the humility of mind. Those two things being the bookends of this structure here that are leading their way into the middle, this axis point on which all of this hinges, which is true brotherly love that should be at the heart of the body of Christ, the Christian community of brothers and sisters in Christ together that we all share. It's needed. And so this week, having now looked at this foundation of these bookends in this passage of unity of mind and humility of mind, we're going to look at the inner structure here. So we see just inside of unity of mind, we see sympathy. What a word. We'll talk about that in a moment. And then on the other side of brotherly love near a humble mind, we see tender hearts. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you will give us not only an understanding of the passage and the meaning, but Father, through our time this morning, a prayerful heart, asking you to give us these wonderful qualities. May we see them in our Savior and appreciate his sympathy and tenderness with us. Father, may we be absolutely convinced by the power, the wisdom, and the beauty of your word that this is needed and that we will depend upon you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. All of this focusing around the brotherly love that is to be in the body of Christ. This time this morning is going to be perhaps more of a time of extended prayer requests. We just look at God's word. We just consider what this means, and we are praying, Lord, help us in these ways. Because nothing that I'm going to say here this morning is going to be any one of those, ooh, there's a great commentary that just provided something awe-inspiring that I now understand what sympathy means, and we leave here changed. Nothing that I'm going to say here this morning is going to give us some nuance in the Greek language to help us better understand what a tender heart truly is and what the words themselves say. But we need this. We need this desperately. The word sympathy here, and oftentimes in the English language, we separate out sympathy and empathy. At least I do a little bit. It sounds similar, so let's figure out what they mean. And in that case, we look at empathy. Empathy is sharing in the feelings of another, understanding what they're going through, the emotion, the pain, every aspect that person's going through as they go through that. And we might say that I can empathize with that because I've gone through that before. Or perhaps we may try to empathize with something and say, I haven't gone through it myself, but I'm going to try. I'm going to compare it to other things that have gone on in my life. As you talk about that you are hurting because of it, I've heard before. You're saying you're scared because of it. I've been scared before. You say you just don't know what the future holds. And I can say, yeah, I've been there before. I have some sort of empathy with you. Now, is that empathy in line with the other person 100%? More than likely, probably not. Perhaps one of the things we need to take from this time of looking at this passage and the importance of this passage is to just make the realization and the recognition that, you know what? It is tough to walk in another man's shoes. Even if you were to sit down with somebody else and say, tell me all about it, where are you going to start? How many experiences have they had in their lives that have shaped the way they're coming to this moment? And so we realize, I can't do that, but prayerfully, because this is commanded in the Word of God, prayerfully, because as we're going to see and discuss and to consider later on, Jesus Himself is this way, we need to say, I'm not going to let our lack of shared experiences, I'm not going to let the fact that I can't understand what's going on exactly in your mind, that there are differences between the way you handle things and the way I handle things. Just because all of those things make it difficult doesn't mean I am going to stop trying to live according to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. So empathy, in our English word, we use often to say, can I understand and share in the struggles, the feelings that somebody else is going through? And then we use the word sympathy, perhaps, in the English language to say, okay, if empathy is to know what you're going through and go for it with you, sympathy is more, I feel for what you're going through. Maybe I'm not sharing it, but I'm sorry you're there. All of this wraps up in what we have here in this word translated as sympathy. Okay, don't divide this word out and say, okay, this is just one of those two. This is just the meaning here, and I can leave the other out because it's not in here. And don't go searching for another word to find empathy somewhere else. That's all here in this word. Peter Davids in his commentary says, to have this sympathy, one must rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. We'll talk about that later. And thus be sympathetic. For example, or in another meeting, we must enter into and experience the feelings of another, he says. This is precisely what Christ does for us. For he has had similar experiences. Hebrews 4:15. We'll look there later. And this uses a verb closely related to this adjective, he says. And it is what we can do for other suffering Christians. So he says it is to rejoice with those who rejoice, to weep with those who weep, and thus be sympathetic, to enter into and experience the feelings of others. This is precisely what Christ does for us. There is no simple definition or complicated definition for me to communicate to you what this sympathy is. I think Peter Davids is right on it, saying you need to look at what you know Christ does for you. There's something profound there. There's something absolutely remarkable and true in this. This is the experience that we share with one another because it is the experience we share with Christ, our risen, living Lord, who has not merely given us His Word and said, trust it and obey it, which He does, but He has established a union with us. He has given us of His Spirit, and we are united with Him. And He has revealed to us that He is risen this day, exalted, and He has revealed to us that He hears us. He hears our prayers. He even knows those things we aren't praying. His Spirit is interceding for us with things we can't even put into words, so that our Savior, Jesus Christ, knows everything, because when He experienced them, His Spirit is interceding and He is taking those things and presenting them perfectly before the Father in His intercession for us. There is nothing that we are going through that Christ does not know or understand. Take heart. Take heart. Now, this is not just some emotion-driven therapy. This is the necessity of being fellow members with one another. Finally, all of you Have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. This is the necessity of being fellow members with one another as a group of exiles in this world. Okay, I want you to take this home with you today, because you'll need this. We live in a world that wants us to live as this world lives. But I'm going to tell you something. They don't have the tools and the wisdom to do what they want you to rely upon them for. This world cannot understand you. This world can't even understand itself. They definitely can't understand what it's like for us to try to bear one another's burdens, to try to put one another's needs above our own, to try to keep our heads above water, our minds above sinking into a sea of emotion and difficulty and fear, and to try to encourage one another to rest upon the Lord Himself. We've seen it perhaps more vividly than anybody in 100 years or so has seen through what's going on with COVID right now. And the world has already, you know, put words out there about who's and what is necessary and what is not. And for a while they locked down everything except those who are necessary. And then they opened it up a little bit to say there's probably a little bit more necessary. But it shouldn't shock us that the world around us is like, you don't need to meet as churches. It's not necessary. In their mind, they can't fathom how it's necessary. For many in this world, it's like, stop singing. And I tell you, they're not doing it because they just want you to stop having that melody in your hearts. They just can't understand how it's necessary for us. They can't. There's plenty of us that can't figure out how necessary it is until we just have that deep yearning of something's wrong when we're not doing it. They cannot understand how our praise is rising up into heaven now and is a sweet smelling aroma before the Lord. And we need to do that. They cannot have empathy and sympathy with us. Now here's the sad thing. There are some areas in which this world actually does have better sympathy and empathy for others than we do. Needs to change. As this structure of a verse builds its way to the core and the central description of who we are in the body of Christ and how we act with one another, which is with true brotherly love, the structure is built up saying to do this, we must have unity of mind and we must have humility of mind. And then as it gets closer to this building point of brotherly love, it says, and we must have sympathy and we must have a tender heart. The one another's here. The one another's of the body of Christ, to love one another, rejoice with one another, to forgive one another, to bear with one another. All of these things we see so often written in the epistles, and we see Paul speak so much of them in Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians, and Peter here is going to eventually be listing some of these things out as well. These one another's are absolutely essential to who we are in union with Christ and in union with one another. We are to have sympathy. We are to have sympathy with our brethren. True brotherly love does not happen apart from it. Sympathy. To enter in and experience the feelings of one another. And again, I don't mean this just emotions and feelings alone. I mean life. How do you go through life without feelings and emotions? And how do you have feelings and emotions without a life? It's part of who we are. tender heart. To be tender-hearted, another word here that can be used in place of this is compassionate. It means in this way that not only as we look at what each other's going through and we have sympathy for one another, but we do so with this tenderness and compassion that is not having a barrier built up between us. It's willing to go into this and recognize that our life together in Christ is going to cause me more hurts and aches and pains and difficulties than I would have if I decided I don't need any of you. It'd be easier without you. It really wouldn't, but to have the joy of our fellowship together, to have the beauty of the love, to see the sacrifice that I've witnessed so much in the last couple of days by all of you in my life and for my family. To go through that and have the moments that I realized I couldn't make it alone. I couldn't do this by myself. To have the moments in life to be like, I just went through that, but if a tree falls in the forest, does anybody know? If my daughter just marries a wonderful young man and I can't tell anybody about it, okay, well, it's still wonderful, but it's even better now to share it. We in the body of Christ ought to know this deeply. We need to rejoice with one another. And we need to weep together with one another. Because that's what the life of an exile is. And I'm here to tell you, there's joy to be found here. Praise God for that. Praise God, He doesn't just leave us as exiles and say, you're going to be miserable for a while. There's hurt, there's pain, there's suffering. Oh, there truly are. And there is joy. And there is love. To have this tender heart, Peter Davids goes on in his commentary, says this, a Christian's caring is not to be simply because he or she understands what another feels. Instead, Christians care deeply about fellow Christians so that the suffering of one becomes the suffering of the other. Christians are to be emotionally involved with each other. Again, this is more of a prayer, just an extended prayer than anything. Lord, make this so with us. This compassion describes Jesus our Lord. Take your Bibles, turn to Mark's Gospel. We're going to look at three passages here from chapter 1 through chapter 8. Mark chapter 1. In these sorts of descriptions and these words find themselves plenty other places in the Gospels of our Lord. I just chose three of them. Mark chapter 1, verse 40. Wait for those with big study Bibles to flip seven pages. Sounds like God. Verse 40. And a leper came to Jesus, imploring him, and while kneeling, said to him, if you will, you can make me clean. Think about this moment before I read the next verse. Jesus could say, I will, and you are. Jesus could say, your faith. This is an example to all. I mean, he said that. Jesus could have healed the man without saying a word. Verse 41. Moved with pity. moved with pity. God has revealed through the inspired scriptures this statement about the heart of his Son. That Jesus our Lord was moved with pity and stretched out his hand and touched him and said, "I will be clean." What about us? Are we moved with pity, compassion, sympathy? Are we willing to allow ourselves to be moved in that way? These moments when Jesus, our Lord, was moved to pity, these are not easy moments. God reveals this about our Savior. Turn over to chapter 6. We'll look at verse 34. Mark 6:34. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them. Compassion. When he went ashore and he saw a great crowd. Now the scriptures here don't tell us how many moments, minutes, hours passed. We just don't know between him looking at this crowd and his time of just assessing their situation. His time of just prayerfully with his Father having the sympathy that goes along with this compassion, being moved with pity. But it does say that he saw them and he had compassion on them because, listen to this, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. There's so much from the argument of the silence here, what this doesn't say, but sticking to what it does say, he had compassion upon them and he stayed with them and he taught them. He spent time with them out of his compassion for them. Then one more verse over in Mark chapter 8. Verse 1 and 2. In those days when again a great crowd had gathered and they had nothing to eat, he called his disciples to them and said to them, "I have compassion on the crowd because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat." I love how God has revealed in his word that Jesus has this pastoral compassion. When he sees these people were a sheep without a shepherd, and he teaches them. And Jesus sees people who are hungry, physically in need, and he's moved with compassion upon them as well to take action for them. Sympathy and a tender heart. Truly, Lord, show us where we may have compassion upon others. Show us where we may see their need, physical, spiritual, emotional. Lord, grant this for us. I want the rest of this time just to be some thoughts that hopefully we can be praying about being sympathetic with a tender heart so that we would, with the foundation of unity of mind, humility of mind, and by the way, well, I'll get here in a moment, that we would have brotherly love. Number one, Lord, help us to first have the humility that the rest of this verse speaks of.
Say that again.
We need to have the humility spoken of in this verse if we are to have the sympathy and the tender heart that this verse says. So Lord, help us to do so. Again, just taking the structure itself, the outer bounds of it being unity of mind and humility of mind, and then closer in towards this brotherly love, this sympathy and tender heart. But consider the ways that we must have humility first. If we are to consider the needs of others, what did we look at last week? To consider the needs of others as more important than our own needs. See, that's key if we're going to get to the point of sympathy and empathy and tenderheartedness. If we are valuing our own selves, our own lives, our own time, our own convenience, our own just don't have to deal with it right now. I don't know how to put that into a word, but you all have been there before. Just not now, all right? I've had too much to do. If we're going to get past all of that, we need to have the humility that says, it's okay. It's okay if my needs aren't met yet. I see somebody else's needs that need to be met right now. We must have that humility. Lord, give us that humility. Lord, let us reject all of these things, all of the things that this world lies to us about, saying you've got to be whole first before you can get somebody. Why? We're broken, and the Lord Jesus is the one that heals us. I'm convinced he's able to heal all of us here. I don't have to wait for him to finish with me first and then let him work on somebody else. Humility to count the needs of others is more important than our own. Biblical humility is essential to true compassion. Lord, give us this humility. Second prayer request. Lord, help us truly be empathetic. Okay? Again, it's not the exact word. English divides it out a little bit more, but I'll say this right now. We all need to have the willingness, first of all, out of true humility, to say, I want to know what they're going through. You will pray more intently. You will pray with more of our, and believe me, God's word helps us out with this as well. And this is why the Psalms are such a rich treasure for us. If we just let the prayer request list get bigger, which great it does, we're going to run out of words about the third prayer request. And then we're going to start lumping everything. And Lord, do it for this and this and this and this and this. Because we're just out of words. The Psalms are like a biblical categories, yeah, this is not a good time. Just biblical wealth of words to help us continue to pray and to keep our minds fresh. As David mentioned that psalm this morning, praying through the psalm, and as he does so, I probably wouldn't have used any of those words in a prayer apart from us seeing and being reminded by God's word, you know what, there's a whole lot more to the emotion than what our lives normally and our minds normally lock into. I don't know how many times in my prayer, Lord, help them. Lord, heal them. You know how many times those two words are found in the Psalms? I don't, but not that much. You're going to find a much richer dialogue, not just so your vocabulary is better, but so that your empathy is better when you just look through the Psalms. Lord, help us to have this proper empathy. Lord, help us to try to share the burden with them physically and emotionally. Believe me, I wish the COVID thing and the restrictions and everything else wouldn't have limited the way we had to handle the wedding, because I could have used all the physical and emotional help that you all had to give to us. But those that were there, oh wow. There are some people that are physically exhausted today just so that my family wouldn't be. We were pretty exhausted when we got home last night. And there were people that were emotionally there for us. I heard more over the last couple of days, how are you doing? than I've heard in a long time, because they were doing that for us. Thank you for that. I need it today too. I'm going to need it tomorrow. You all need it as well. I had many ask me to pray, and they said, I hate to bother you this week. Thank you. Keep sharing. Know that it is very difficult to fully understand the depth. Know that you may not ever feel the full pain, and that you may not feel the struggle to cope with the difficulties others do. But Lord, help us to be sympathetic. And here's one. Lord, help us to share joy with one another. We need this too. This needs to be a prayer request. Lord, we want to share more joy with one another. We want to hear more testimonies. Lord, help us share this. Lord, help me to recognize the sorts of things I need to tell others about in a true, genuine way to praise you and to share the joy of Christ with others. We're not very good at this. I'm not just talking about us here in this room. I mean, people in general, believers in general, we're so trained to take joy in things that shouldn't be sharing with one another, because it's really a shallow joy in the end. Now, again, I'm not getting on you. I don't want you. So my brother-in-law this week was just talking a little bit about family and aging and those sorts of things and the way that things go. And just trying to explain a few things, and he said something that just I'm now terrified of. He said he was looking back through some old family videos, and one of our relatives in particular, who just seems to be aging and weakening in certain ways, and he said, their blink rate in these videos, you could just see how much stronger they were and engaged they were. You could see it just in the... I'm like, Carl, I am scared to death now of how many times I'm going to blink in front of you. That you are judging my condition and how much I'm weakening and how frail my mind is. So I'm going to install an app that every time I feel it vibrate, I'm going to blink in front of you folks too, so that doesn't happen. But I understand there are things that change about us. It's hard to keep up with everything going on in our lives. And if you're young enough now that you don't recognize age itself is going to change those around you, it is, okay? They're not the same person they used to be. They're not. It's a struggle. Somehow I was talking about joy before I got onto that. There are things that I've gone through in life that I've taken joy over. Like, wow, look at this. I'm like, I have to be careful that really is what is a blessing according to Scripture. You can give thanks in everything. And I truly believe that, encourage that. When you look at what Peter says throughout the rest of the book, he gives us so many things to have joy inexpressible and full of glory about. Let's share those things with each other more and more. They're out there, all around us. Two more things I want us to pray for. As I was reminded by one of my children how long it took me to get to Tim's bench in the sermon last week. So I'll move on in my notes. Lord, help us to rely upon Christ through prayer to truly be sympathetic. For he is the one who knows their struggle. Catch that? If we are going to reach this point of brotherly love, if we are going to have the sympathy and tender hearts that we should have based upon the foundation of unity of mind and humility of mind, we need Christ's help. And that sounds really basic, but I'm here to tell you that none of us, by deduction of blink rate, body posture, breathing or anything else, is going to truly figure out how to empathize with somebody else. Okay? If only we knew someone who knows exactly what they're going through. If only we knew somebody who knew it so well that he is able to come to their aid And you know how God is revealed? He's sometimes come to the aid of others. Think Corinthians. Blessed be the God and Father, the God of all comfort, who comforts us, that we may be able to comfort others in their time of affliction through the same comfort he gave to us when we were going through something. To truly live 1 Peter 3 out. Lord Jesus, you know what they're going through. You know what I've gone through. And you have told us in your word that you have given us experiences specifically so that we can comfort others with the comfort you gave us. Lord, show me what they're going through. And even if I can't understand that, show me what I've gone through that can help them in what they're going through. This world can't understand what I just said. But I think you guys here can. We have divine power to truly come with sympathy and tender hearts to bring about brotherly love this world cannot understand. Because we have Christ our Savior who is about this world. Well, when you think about that. Now, to go back to that humility thing and the human thing, because I don't want us to run up to somebody and be like, brother, I know exactly what you need to hear right now. Because I went through this hangnail one time, and I got to tell you, you need to hear this. I feel better. Don't you? All right? Sometimes we can get a little overconfident with a lack of humility and be like, I got this now. Why didn't that help? What's your problem? Okay. This is why it takes a prayerful effort and wisdom. And by the way, let's talk about this from the other side for a little bit. Sometimes you may need to say, brother, thank you. That didn't help at all. Again, in humility. But brother, thank you. Let me tell you where I'm still struggling right now. Because I know you're going to be there to pray for me. See how there's a bit of brotherly love there, even still. It shouldn't often be there, but when it is, tell them. And then more than that, dear friends, just know the attempt. The attempt from somebody else to come to you with sympathy and tender heart to show you brotherly love is worthy of you to say thank you. Amen. Lastly, oh, by the way, I meant to read Hebrews 4. You're very familiar with that. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And again, that verse is precious to me, and I want it to be precious to you to think about when you're going through a time of need to approach Christ through prayer, but also now, when you see somebody else in need, please approach Jesus in a time of prayer that, Lord, you know what they're going through. Give me wisdom to help. But lastly, I want you to turn to Romans 12. And as I just encouraged you to be relying upon Christ in prayer to help others, as you lay your petitions for them at His feet, with a humble but a confident faith in Christ our risen Lord, ask our Lord in these moments of sympathy for our brethren. Now, Lord Jesus, equip me, instruct me, and use me to serve them. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, and wait a minute, before we finish that up, where this is going is one of those wow moments of exegesis. It's one of those moments, what he just said is that we may offer acceptable spiritual worship to God, not conformed to this world, but transformed, that we may show what God's will for us is, everything that is good and acceptable and perfect. How? How does this take place? It's not individually, I'll tell you that much right now, and we'll keep reading. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the gifts given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith, if service, in our serving, the one who teaches, in his teaching, the one who exhorts, in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. If you keep looking all the way down to verse 15, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. That is sympathy and tenderness. Live in harmony with one another. That's unity of mind and humility of mind. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Dear friends, there's so much for us to pray for, that our lives would honor Christ with a sort of worship, a sort of spiritual worship that is good and acceptable and well-pleasing to God. And we will find that in the true brotherly love that only we can show one another through Christ our Savior. Amen. May God grant it to be so. I wanted to take just one moment.